But first, if you're within the sound of my voice, the name Susie Merchant is probably as familiar as a family member. She's in her sixth season as head coach of the women's basketball team here at Michigan State, balancing the pressures of a Big Ten program with the adventures surrounding parenting of two boys. Welcome to the program, Susie.
Thanks for having me, Scott. I really appreciate it.
You know, when I was looking out the window this morning, I was imagining that scene in The Christmas Story where the mom bundles Ralphie's little brother up in so many layers he can barely move. What's a typical winter morning like at the Merchant Rican?
Well, today it was quite a fight over a coat my two-year-old did not want to wear. I don't know why all of a sudden the winter coat that he's worn every single day is not appropriate anymore, and he was trying to get into another one. So I'd like to say it was a warm and fuzzy morning, but it never is. And I was trying to pack myself because I'm on a trip later today recruiting and then we'll replay at Purdue tomorrow. So between get myself together, my two boys, and my husband's out of town, it was an adventure all before about 7:45 a.m.
Wow. My wife, Colleen, wanted me to ask you, what's the breakfast fare at your household?
It's called a little Cliff Bar, a Z Bar. So tell her that there's not a lot of breakfast happening. And usually a stop at Quality Dairy for my caffeine and maybe a donut for the boys.
She wants me to send you her oatmeal bake recipe. Coaching Division I basketball is a pressure cooker. How do you keep pace and maintain some semblance of a life outside of the game?
It's hard. I mean, I think that's the one thing I will tell you that has been a challenge for me, especially early when I first got here. I mean, I had been a Division I head coach, and actually a head coach since I'd been 25, so I understood that. But this level's just a different kind of feel. It's a bigger stage, obviously, a national stage, but the recruiting, the outside demands of the job, I mean, that was a little bit more than I understood coming into the position. And I had just given birth to my first child when I got the job here. So I remember one day after about 7-8 months on the job, and so we're about halfway through our season, I would go in Ty's room when he was only about 6 months old, and I'd, you know, cradle him, and I would feel guilty. You know, I'd feel guilty as a mom because I wasn't there all the time for him. And then when I was at work, I felt guilty. And then when I was at home, I felt guilty about, you know, maybe not making more recruiting calls or watching more film. And so I had one of those aha moments, as they say, where you just say enough's enough, and I just have to change what I'm doing and not beat myself up so much, and really just try to compartmentalize both situations. And you know, when I'm a mom, I'm gonna be a mom, put that phone down, focus on my boys. And when I have to be a coach, I'll be a coach. And if there's a time where I can merge them both, so be it. But in the meantime, I think the best thing I can do is just be 100% in the moment.
That's a common challenge, I think, for more and more working moms in Michigan now, isn't it?
It is. And there's not many women in my profession that have a family. And if they do, a lot of times their husbands don't work. And my husband has his own career. He has his own company. So he's a busy guy. So we really rely on a village of people from, you know, my folks early on lived here with us and helped us to now we have a great babysitter / nanny, a Michigan State graduate student. So, you know, all in the family, we're all Spartans.
Everyone asks you about the basketball season. I want to talk about the stories that don't make the front page in the State Journal. Madison Williams, highly touted recruit, high expectations, and a series of injuries that would make a lesser athlete give it up. She hasn't missed a game this season.
Yeah, Madison Williams, boy, your heart just on one level breaks for her. On the other side, just fills up with a lot of inspiration and joy. You know, she is a tremendous human being, Scott. Above all, she's got high character, a very strong in her faith person, too. So I think she relies a lot on some of the adversity she's had. She just sort of, you know, prays about it and gives it up and, you know, believes that there's a higher calling and another purpose for maybe why this has happened to her. But she's an inspiring person. And one of my favorite stories about her is after she's blown her ACL, her knee, basically three times. And as you mentioned, she's a 6'7", McDonald's All-American, could dunk. I mean, is a game-changing program changer in our game. you know, after this third one, after she got over the shock and the disappointment, she came in my office a couple of days later and she said, you know, Coach, every year that we do the Hall of Fame and they hand out the varsity jackets, you know, at Wharton Center there, she said, I never want you to give me one. I'm going to earn one. I'm going to get on that court. I'm going to play. I'm going to get through a Big Ten season. When I walk across that stage and get my varsity coat, it'll be because I earned it, not because somebody gave it to me because they felt bad for me. So that's after her third ACL, her third major injury that's kept her out of playing. And if you think about it, next year she should be a senior, you know, and she's still willing to come back and give it one more try and has actually had another surgery on her other knee to try to, you know, clean some things up. So she's had it, you know, she's had as tough as anybody. And, you know, I pray and I hope that she has a chance. I mean, just one, give her 1 year, maybe two, where she can, you know, feel good about her experience on the basketball court because she loves Michigan State, loves this place. So,
well, she's actively involved in the game. I see her cheering the loudest on the bench.
Yeah, sometimes I have to, like, get her out of the way so I can call a play. She's jumping up so much, and you know, she just loves everybody here, and everyone's been so wonderful here, from, you know, Dr. Simon and Mark Hollis, obviously Izzo and D'Antonio. I mean, there's so much support and love here that I think she feels inspired to come back and prove to people that, you know, she's worthy of a scholarship.
We chemistry here among the coaches seems to me to be something really special.
It is. I mean, it's so different. I mean, I heard Izzo say once, it's like a bunch of Division II coaches as people in a big-time BCS level. And what that means is, you know, when you're a Division II coach, because I've been one before, I mean, I was the head coach, the compliance coordinator, the academic advisor, and the senior women's administrator. So wore many hats. So in order to do that, you know, the men's basketball coach was the facility guy, and the golf coach handled, you know, certain different things. So what it does is force people to really connect and communicate, and, you know, we all wear different hats. So it's important to give to each other, and I think he's right about that. You know, I expected it to be a little more business-like, but I mean, I'll get phone messages and text messages from Mark D'Antonio, and he'll stop over. And obviously, I work with Izzo pretty closely on a day-to-day basis, and Coach Anastas and Kathy George and Jackie and Jake. I mean, there's just so many of them to really, you know, it just is special. It's special. And I think our recruits feel that. I really do. I think on the women's side, for us, maybe we're not selling the pro game as much as the men's side, and how we can get them millions of dollars at the next level, because that's not really where we're at with our game. But it's about a feeling, and how do they feel when they come to Michigan State? And when you have those kind of people you can put in front of them, it's pretty special.
How do you get a group of elite athletes to think about what happens after they finish playing?
Well, that's a tricky thing sometimes. I think, you know, for me, I actually try to get them to focus in on the moment, you know, and just how special it is to be here and what it means to be a Spartan and to appreciate the person to the right and to their left. And, you know, you won't remember sometimes all of the wins and the plays and whatnot, but you'll remember the feeling that you have playing with and fighting for and alongside your teammates, and the bond that you'll have will be forever. And I just think an athlete, it's a different kind of bond, and not to say anything's different or, you know, about students that are in programs, but, you know, when you are blood, sweat, and tears with the person, you know, to your right and to your left, it's just a different connection for the rest of your life. And so I always really try to get them not to play with each other, but to play for each other.
A transferable skill into the real world.
Absolutely. I mean, if you're more worried about being a good teammate than you are being the person, I think your team ends up having a lot more success. And I think this year's been probably the best example of that for us.
How often do you hear from your alumni?
Oh my gosh, I talk to them all the time. It's so great with social media now. I mean, on Twitter and certainly on Facebook and all the things that you can do. It's so nice to stay up with LaKendra, Porsche, Taylor. All three of those guys are playing pro. Cal comes back and forth. Satara's, you know, right as a graduate assistant for me and stay down with me. So, you know, there's many of them. I talk to Alyssa DeHaan quite a bit. Aisha Jefferson, I mean, you could just go Lauren H. Oh my gosh, there's probably a better example and a more impressive person out of our organization than Lauren H.
Now, one of my favorite stories that you tell is what I've come to call the Susie Merchant test, something that has little to do with athleticism, but everything to do with character. Tell us that story.
Yeah, well, I figured this out a long time ago when I was a head coach and I was 25 years old. I always felt like I could figure out who was the most talented, but I really wanted a good team. So for us, we really focused on bringing good kids in. Now, how do you do that? So, you know, the NCAA has so many limits that we can go watch kids play. So one of the times I would save, my fifth and final time, I already knew they could, you know, they were the kid for our program in terms of athleticism. But I would go when they didn't know I was coming. I would never tell them, the AD, the principal, nobody knew. And I wouldn't wear any gear. And I'd sneak into the game and I would watch them. And I just watched how they interacted with their teammates and their coaches and the officials. And I hopefully picked a game where I knew they weren't going to play a lot. Actually, they were going to blow the team out. So I could see, do they cheer for their teammates when it's not about them? And I just think that's been a good recipe for me. Honestly, Scott, I think it's, you know, really allowed me to see truly someone's colors when they're when they don't know you're there.
Anybody ever blow it?
Absolutely. I had a kid blow it, and she came out of the locker room. They had won a big game. It wasn't actually a blowout game. It was a rival game, and they had won it. And she's the oldest of four kids in a family that struggled. And she came out of the locker room, and her dad said, "Oh, honey, great game. So proud of you." And she looked at him and said, "Dad, I want the keys to the car. I'm going to Amanda's house." And I just thought, man, that's not right. Those people sacrificed a lot, and to just not engage with their family. And I just believe that that's how she would treat the coaches and her teammates. And she had a little bit of too much diva in them, is what I called it, a little bit too much diva for us. And we passed on her, and I'm glad we did.
She wasn't a Spartan.
She was not a Spartan.
She was. The Big Ten tournament and the dancer on the horizon, we should talk about that. What will your team be thinking about as you prepare?
Well, we have two more left in the regular season. We fly out tonight and we play tomorrow at Purdue on the Big Ten Network. And then we play at home on Sunday on senior night. And, you know, really it's just like the men's side. And I know there's maybe not as many women's basketball fans out there, but it's very hard to win on the road. It's a very deep conference. Anybody can beat anybody any given night. So we have challenges ahead of us, that's for sure. We want to finish strong here and, you know, have a good showing in the Big Ten tournament. For us, we really want to position ourselves for a good seed in the NCAA tournament.
I love coming to women's games. It has a much more of a family feel. You can actually hear what's going on the court.
Yeah, you know, it's a different. I think people appreciate it because it's played below the rim for sure. And I think people have a more of a connection to the way the game used to be played back in the 70s, I should say, maybe even before that. So, you know, the fundamentals, the skill, the strategy, I think is a little more significant than the high-flying athleticism and size of the guys' game.
Susie Merchant, one of my all-time favorite people, thank you for joining us on Current State.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.